Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Stephen and Joe's Greatest Movie. I am Stephen, and I am joined, as ever, by my colleague Joe. Say hello, Joe!
Hey, everybody!
You can find me online at Steve_Meller. You can find him online at MAJIKEL. Or you can find us both at Burnt Papyrus.
Correct.
We're starting out today with just a little bit of a chat about the Oscars, because this is, technically, this is the Oscars podcast. There won't be another one between now and, you know, we've had the BAFTAs and didn't comment on them at all.
Yeah.
Next
Well, no one cares about the BAFTAs.
I care about the BAFTAs.
I know, I do as well. I'm just joking. But the Oscars do get more international.
I'm going to get a t-shirt printed now. I care about the BAFTAs.
But yeah, Oscars do get a more international
audience.
Yeah. There's a lot more buzz about the Oscars compared to the BAFTAs. I actually agree. I think the BAFTAs are actually really important and tend to be a little bit...
It's interesting seeing how some of the votes for the Oscars have gone this year in terms of nominations. Always used to be this thing where the Golden Globes would inform what would show up at the Oscars afterwards.
Yeah.
And it seems much more this year that the BAFTAs have, which I thought was quite significant.
Yeah, it does show a shift in sort of current media. I find that a lot of the Oscar nominations, there's a few of them which I'm just not sure of how it happened.
Okay.
There's a few of them which I find a little bit weird.
Weird as in you wouldn't have chosen that film, or...
Weird as in that... I don't know. I don't think... it's entirely that money has greased wheels, but I think there's...
I'm sure there's some money and some greasing going on.
Yeah, there's just a few names on the list just makes me go, that I don't see why that belongs on that list,
right?
And how that got there without a few people going, oh, well, it belongs there because it got lots of attention.
Okay, well, should we take a look at some of them and actually see what's been nominated and what's... what's up for awards? So, what have you got? You've got them in front of you, and I do.
In fact, I've got them in front of me twice, paper and screen as well.
You're like a stats man tonight, of Oscar tributiness.
The first one's for Best Picture.
Yep. The Artist.
Yeah, The Artist was top of the list, which I've heard really good things about.
I got the Best Picture for the BAFTA as well.
Yeah.
So it's good. Although, what else is in there?
The Descendants.
George Clooney film?
I believe so. Yes, it is. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. It's the one with Max von Sydow.
It is. That's only just come out over here, and I'm not...
Yeah. The Help?
Which apparently is fantastic. About stuff.
Hugo?
Which is fantastic.
I know you spoke highly
of Hugo. I think it's brilliant.
Midnight in Paris?
Woody Allen film, if I remember rightly.
Oh. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Moneyball.
Oh, which is the Aaron Sorkin, the guy who wrote Social Network.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
And also The West Wing, and my favourite TV show ever at the moment, which isn't British sci-fi, which is Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
I'm going to say at this point as well, I will freely confess, I have not seen most of the films on the entire Oscars list.
That's all right. That's perfectly fine. I've not seen all of them, but, you know, I've seen some of them. Yeah. So.
The Tree of Life.
You've not seen it, but I've heard good things.
And War Horse.
And again, I've heard some very, very good things about
War
Horse.
So have I. I saw the trailer and kind of went, oh, that looks like it's going to be pap.
Really?
And then everything friends of mine have said have been like, actually, it's really good. And, and it's kind of like you go in expecting it to be a not that great and a bit schmaltzy and whatever. But apparently it's actually really good. And I was just like, oh, really? Okay. But no, it sounds like it's got... a lot of redeeming features.
I've heard a lot of things about it being good for certain audiences and not for others. Some people have said it's not as good as the book is, and that it's got some sort of Act Two problems, but there's a lot of films out there that have got Act Two problems. It doesn't mean they haven't won Oscars in the past.
But that's it for Best Picture.
I mean, from those... The artist for me was just brilliant. It surpassed on silent films, and it's done in such a good way that I.
Mm. I've read about it, that some people were slating it for not being
in color,
not being revolutionary, and
apparently there was some people in Liverpool.
Hmm.
Who complained that it was silent and in black and white, and wanted their money back from the cinema because they wanted to see a black and white silent film that didn't have any colour or sound in it,
which is special.
Yeah, yeah, not in a good way.
No, but a lot of this did make me. I kind of was reading through this list and going, I haven't seen a lot of these films, and. Mm-hmm. I do want to see The Artist. I do want to see Hugo. I do want to see War Horse. But I haven't heard a lot of. I've read a bit about each of them just to kind of find out what we're talking about. but I haven't had a lot of wish to see all of these films, yet they're winning Oscars. Right. And it kind of makes me think, have I been missing out on something? And it made me look back through the films we've had out this past year. And it made me realise that there wasn't a lot that kind of.
No, we've been very lucky pillars, in the past sort of 2 or 3 months, which has been Oscar season. So anything that they want the Oscars to consider, they'll release in the last few months before the Oscars. So everyone goes, oh, yes, I remember that film. It was on at the cinema a few weeks ago. And, so we've been very lucky over the last few months to have the best releases of last year or the last 12 months have been things like Hugo and The Artist, and it's all been the last few weeks. So,
But I look back over the past year, and it was basically, the films that kind of stick out are comic book films,
yeah,
and action and adventure films,
yeah.
And there's not a lot of grit and serious filmmaking that has stormed people's opinions over the past year.
No,
not in a bad way. That's not a bad thing. You can't always have that, but there's just not a lot going on over 2011 to the recent 2012. It's just
I think we're going to be much luckier this year. It's a shame actually that the Muppets didn't come out in the UK when it came out in the States, because it was going to be a big hit in the UK anyway. Yeah. You know, that is a really good film.
Yeah. I did see that. Later on in a different category, there is a Muppets entry.
There's only one. It's best original soundtrack.
We'll get to it. Yeah.
It needs to win that. It deserves to win that. Because I don't care who's in Rango. It's not...
Should we carry on?
Yes, let's carry on.
The next one is actor in a leading role.
Actor in a leading role, yeah.
And George Clooney for The Descendants.
He's had a lot of praise for that, actually. A lot of people have said, I mean, not just, you know, Oscar buzz and stuff, but he was nominated a lot of the BAFTAs, and a lot of people are saying, hey, it's a very good performance from him.
Jean Dujardin in The Artist.
Which, yeah. It's perfect.
Gary Oldman, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Was very good as well, and actually be really nice to see him win that.
Brad Pitt in Moneyball.
Don't care.
And I can't...
That's not fair. I don't know, but I don't care about Brad Pitt's career.
Well, the thing is, Brad Pitt, I actually do... I didn't when he was younger, but I think he's turned into an amazing actor. But I just don't know anything about Moneyball. There's been
no
fuss about it for me. Now, can you read the top left hand? Because there's one more actor in the best role.
Hang on.
And I can't pronounce his name.
Reaching now.
Reaching over.
Damien Bichir
in For a Better Life.
For a Better Life, yeah.
Cool.
And I'm sure it will be for him. I'd love to see Gary Oldman nominated for it. Mostly because I don't think he'll ever get nominated for Batman.
Well, also because he's Gary Oldman.
Yeah, has he ever won? I don't think he's ever won, has he?
I can tell you. But, yeah, I just... Gary Oldman is just one of those actors that a lot of... pretty much every film I've seen him in... That he's
brilliant,
turned his hand to. He's he stormed. He steals every scene from so many people in so many different films.
He was really good in Tinker Tailor as well, wasn't he?
Yes, definitely. Let's have a look. I've got the joy of IMDb in my hands, which it aids this whole process so strong. I could pretend that I've memorized this. Oh, yeah, I happen to memorize off the top of my head that he's got this and that. And no, I have no idea.
I thought about it a week ago. I probably would have gone, oh, I can print that from somewhere. But no. Not prepared at all.
Yeah, for anybody listening to the podcast, go out.
This
and
is
just,
a
just
very boring
through,
bit, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, just forget about it. Yeah, he's cool. He should win stuff if he hasn't already.
Yes, he should. Yeah. What's next?
Actress in a leading role.
Actress. Okay.
Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs.
Okay.
Viola Davis for The Help.
Again, The Help being one of those films that I don't think we've heard a lot about it in this country, but it's a very American film in that it deals with the slave thing. And
Chris Columbus was a producer on it.
It's not slave thing. I know. That's really sticking in my throat as well.
Kind of like, just Chris Columbus, really? Really?
But no, you know, apparently it's very good.
So. Okay. To be seen. Bet it won't get to the top of our list.
I say slave. You know, I say slave. I don't mean slave. I mean the other thing.
The other thing?
Where they're not slaves, but they're not allowed to sit in the same bus.
You mean...
You see, you can't think of the word either.
Equality.
Yeah, apartheid. Movements.
Yes.
There you go.
I guess. Rooney Mara for The Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
You weren't a fan of the film?
I wasn't a fan of her that much.
Oh, okay. Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady.
You know, if anyone's going to get it... I thought...
Strong possibility. I don't...
I wasn't that big a fan of Iron Lady, to be honest.
I haven't seen it.
Because...
That's not a surprise.
I don't know. It just... It seemed to... It didn't quite glamorize Thatcher as she was in the 80s.
Mm.
But at the same time, I don't know, it didn't seem to have a political standpoint to the message. And you would think that a film about somebody who is so political and so opposed the people of the country.
Yeah.
You know, she was the Marmite politician. You either loved her or hated her. And she was black and tasted like yeast.
Stop.
No. I don't know. That's not right, is it?
And the last nominee is Michelle Williams for My Week with Marilyn. I just had to stop you.
I'd like to see My Week with Marilyn get it.
Yeah?
Well,
for actress in the leading role, though, is that the
she's
right?
She's a very good Marilyn. In fact, she's the best thing in there, and with a film with Kenneth Branagh in, that's saying a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of Kenneth Branagh,
is he nominated?
Actor in a supporting role.
Well, there you go.
Kenneth Branagh, My Week with Marilyn.
Laurence Olivier.
Yeah.
And he does a very good Larry Olivier as well.
Yeah. Jonah Hill in Moneyball.
Yeah, this again, it's not a big film in the UK.
No, and I just kind of felt, this is the thing, I'm going to read through the rest of this list as well. You've got Nick Nolte in Warrior, Christopher Plummer in Beginners, and Max von Sydow in Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Is something going through your mind in the
Kenneth
realms
Branagh,
of
Nick
who
Nolte,
the hell
Christopher
is Jonah
Plummer.
Hill?
I know who Jonah Hill
is. No, I don't mean you don't know who he is, but, you know, in terms of that list.
What is he doing on that list?
Yeah.
You've got to admit, it's kind of weird.
It would kind of be like having Seth Rogen for Green Hornet or something.
Yeah, that's kind of...
That's what it feels like.
It doesn't feel quite that bad because Green Hornet was terrible, but Moneyball apparently is very, very good and it's got a lot of buzz surrounding it, which is awesome. Yeah. But Jonah Hill being nominated for an Oscar...
I think it just goes to show how good the film is.
Really?
Probably.
It has to be a pretty good film for him to belong on that list.
Okay, no, honestly, that's one for the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
But that and Social Network, possibly.
Cool, but I'm not knocking Jonah Hill as an actor, but in all fairness, everything I've seen him in, he's been a very good comedic actor.
Yeah.
in very forgettable roles.
Yes.
Now, it seems obviously that's changed for Moneyball and he's playing a much more engaging role, but...
Possibly. But then again, I couldn't tell you what character it was he was playing. Yeah.
And an Oscar-winning role?
Yeah.
Seems a bit... But Kenneth Branagh in Marilyn, you can go, yeah, fair play, I can see why that...
I think the thing with Moneyball, I could quite easily see that the reason that Moneyball has got something is the writing. Hmm. And it's an intelligent film, and it's going to be an intelligent film because it's written by intelligent people.
Excellent.
You know,
but that I just don't think that should translate to the other nominations of the game.
No, probably not, but it does happen. It
seems odd. Yeah, totally. But again, that's what kind of made me feel like there's some odd stuff going on in the Oscars. And it kind of makes me feel that because there's buzz surrounding it, we may as well put them on the list.
There's always
it kind of makes me think
though,
that there could have been better people put on that list.
Oh, maybe.
Have you seen Warrior, Nick Nolte?
I have, yeah, and I thought he was fantastic in it. But
Nick Nolte, again, actor who's been around for a very long time, but not featured in the Oscars very much.
No, and maybe he'll get it in the same way that...
that Gary Oldman could.
Well, no, I was going to say that the wrestler got nominated a lot. Maybe it's just his time to get it. And I do find with the Oscars a lot that they will have someone who's nominated. I mean, was it... I want to say Martin Scorsese, who got nominated for The Departed a couple of years ago. Was it last year or the year before? The Departed... wasn't the best film of that year, but got the Oscar. But you kind of got the feeling that he was given that Oscar because of all the other fantastic work that he's done in the past, and that they've gone, well, actually, we haven't recognised him when we should have done.
See, that kind of feels wrong, though.
I know it feels wrong, but I think that happens a lot.
That yeah, I get that feeling, and that kind of makes me worry, because that shouldn't be how it's done.
Yeah.
And it doesn't... It makes it harder for newer filmmakers.
Yeah.
Because it's likely they might get passed over to recognise an old boy's achievements.
Mm, mm.
When you kind of feel like, well, no, you should have recognised him back then. Stop punishing us for your mistakes, you know? not saying that we're going to... Well, I hope we're going to be nominated for an Oscar one day, but, you know, not hedging my bets.
Oscar for the best kept toilet in film history.
That's... I'll never get that one.
best kept secret in film history,
yes,
perhaps.
Yes, my toilet.
We're not telling you what it is at all.
Oh, damn. next category is the actress in a supporting role. Right. Which you've got Berenice Bejo.
And not Best Supported Actress.
No.
Which is a different thing altogether.
That's a Wonder Bride, but... Jessica Chastain in The Help.
Again, you see, it's getting...
I don't know.
Lots and lots of nominations.
Again, this is another one which I just went, what? Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids.
But again, apparently a really good film, and I've not seen it yet, but everyone says I should.
It's the only entry for Bridesmaids on the entire Oscars list, so...
Well, maybe it's deserving of that one particular thing.
Janik McTeer in Albert Nobbs. Which I'll come back to Albert Nobbs in a minute, because there are redeeming features, and again, I kind of feel it...
Not just the name.
No.
Nobbs.
Octavia Spencer in The Help.
And again, with The Help.
Yeah, The Help got two... Two, I don't know. Two entries I think, for an I actress was, in a supporting role on that one. That's
I
fine.
Think it was always going to, because with the subject matter, I think it's something that's very, you know, it's very recent history for Americans.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was going to sort of touch a nerve. So it doesn't surprise me, but it surprised me when it got so many BAFTA nominations. So.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's probably that good a film.
We should probably, I'm just thinking otherwise this podcast is going to end up horrendously long. We should probably press on a little bit.
Yeah, go on. Keep going.
Animated feature film. This list interested me, actually, because I haven't heard of a couple of these, and I'm a big fan of animated film.
Kung Fu Panda 2's in it, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know why that's on there. Puss in Boots is on it as well, which apparently is good.
I don't know.
Rango is on it as well.
Rango I liked. I really enjoyed Rango.
It did look cool. A Cat in Paris.
Not seen it.
And Chico and Rita.
Which probably deserves it.
That to be honest, I looked at some of the animation for Chico and Rita, and that, out of all of them, it kind of reminded me of French Ghibli, you know?
Yeah,
it's got elements of that quality of artwork and smoothness of animation. And it made me want to see that one out of the list the most. But I kind of want to see A Cat in Paris as well. It looks very French in a very cool way. And I do want to see Rango. I haven't got around to seeing that yet. For cinematography, The Artist.
Yeah.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay.
Hugo.
Yeah. I'd like to see Hugo get that.
The Tree of Life and War Horse.
That's going to be a difficult year.
I think Hugo should get it.
I think it's
going
to be a really, really difficult year for Martin Scorsese, because as good as Hugo is, I think that the Artist or the War Horse will probably walk away with it.
Yeah. Art direction, The Artist. Yeah, I can see that. Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is for art direction. I was like, actually, yeah, I can totally see that. There's some beautiful stuff.
Over the years, they've done some amazing work.
Definitely.
Absolutely stunning work.
Hugo's on that list as well.
Yeah.
Midnight in Paris
and
War Horse. Next category is costume design.
Right.
Which Anonymous is the first entry. The Artist. Hugo.
Is that the only award that Anonymous is up for?
I think so. I'd need to double check.
Because it didn't... I mean... It didn't seem to do that well critically at all.
Just double checking through. Yeah, pretty sure it is. Yeah, but... You wait till we get later on the list. There's some really weird ones in there. But yes, that is the only entrance for Anonymous. But, you know, apparently they had good costumes. So I'm not going to dispute that.
I only mention it since it's very close to the subject matter of my new book.
Jane Eyre.
Right.
Hugo. And W.E. I haven't even heard of W.E.
W.E. is the Edward and Mrs. Simpson story told from the point of view of somebody finding out about Wallace Simpson.
Okay.
Apparently it's not very good. Directed by Madonna.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine... Again, no offence to Madonna, but I can't imagine her being a great director.
Well, she lived with Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
A long time, so...
Yeah.
She must have picked up something, but great direction probably wasn't it.
Did you see her Super Bowl halftime show?
No.
Oh, dear. So much was wrong with that. And she fell over.
Oh, well, that's obviously the worst thing that could have happened.
Directing. The Artist.
Yeah. Deserves it.
The Descendants. Hugo. Midnight in Paris. And The Tree of Life.
I just think The Artist deserves it, because the film is made by the star and the director.
I think you're right, but it's on a list with Martin Scorsese and Woody Allen.
I don't think Woody will get it.
I don't think so either.
I think Martin Scorsese may get it. I think the Descendants could quite easily take that. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of buzz about The Descendants, and it's a George Clooney film, and America likes George Clooney.
Documentary feature, which I hadn't heard of any of these, but that's because I don't watch enough documentaries. Hell and Back Again.
Right.
If a Tree Falls, A Story of the Earth Liberation Front, which sounds quite interesting. Paradise Lost 3, Purgatory.
Lost 3?
I know. Weird.
What happened to 1 and 2?
I don't know. Pina.
Right.
And Undefeated.
Not Senna, then.
No.
That's really... wrong.
Yeah.
Surely that was the best documentary of last year.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
According to the Oscars. Documentary short. The Barber of Birmingham, Foot Soldier of the Civil Rights Movement, God is the Bigger Elvis, Incident in New Baghdad, Saving Face, and The Tsunami and the Cherry Blossom.
And neither of us have seen any of those films.
No, not seen any of them. However, the name of a short documentary, The Tsunami and the Cherry Blossom...
Sounds quite...
That's a great title.
Yeah, it's a very good title.
For a thing, and obviously quite... I think still quite recent in the minds of people who have been in tsunamis and the earthquakes that caused all of that.
Of people who have been in tsunamis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, I don't know if it's about the people, but in terms
of... I just think
it's still recent in people's minds in Australia and Japan and everything that happened out there in terms of massive flooding.
I think it's still recent enough in America, what happened with the Mississippi River bursting and, you know.
So it could get it just for that, but also it just sounds like an interesting topic. I'd quite like to watch that one.
Okay.
Film editing, The Artist, The Descendants, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo and Moneyball.
I think film editing is going to be the one where the film that hasn't got the rest of the Oscars through it the night, the one that's that's trailing, that really should have got something, I think that's where it's going to pick something up.
See, part of me hopes that somebody is just moderating this and will actually just judge it based upon how good the edit is.
I want that to be the case. Because it's the Academy. The Academy is voted for. The Oscars are voted for by people who were editors or were directors. It will. But now they're allowing postal voting, I think. Not for the first time, but they're doing it now and they didn't used to.
Yeah.
So that people who were in the industry who are in other parts of the country who can't sort of get along to somewhere to vote can actually put their votes in.
Okay. Foreign language film.
Yeah.
Bullhead for Belgium.
Right.
Monsieur Lazare for Canada. A Separation for Iran. Footnote for Israel, and In Darkness for Poland.
Now, I've not seen any of those.
No, me neither. Now.
And here, didn't even know they were.
Here's an interesting one. The next category is makeup.
Right.
And there's three categories. One of them is The Iron Lady. Which they did.
I kind of, yeah.
A pretty good job on that.
It was a very good job.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Again, very good job.
Yeah, great job. And the other one's Albert Nobbs.
Right, okay.
Now, there is quite an astonishing job done on Albert Nobbs of Glenn Close and Janet McTeer, who got the nominations for actress and supporting actress in the leading role.
Yeah.
They look so androgynous.
Right.
And there's a lot of, very minimalist makeup and a very subtle makeup job. Which makes me think, that really belongs on that list. Because they've done a good job of making it not look like they're wearing makeup, if that makes sense, but still making them film-ready in that kind of way. I think that there could be a contender for the makeup there. I know...
That's interesting. I'm really looking forward to watching it, and I will be watching it live.
Original score of music.
Yeah.
The Adventures of Tintin. John Williams. John Williams is the man.
He is.
So I could see that one going that way. The Artist, Hugo, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and War Horse. Now, again, War Horse means John Williams has two entries on that list, hedging his
you
bets.
You see, this is how you win an Oscar.
you just do lots of work.
Yeah, you make lots of films that'll give you an Oscar. I wouldn't mind any of those winning because, the purpose of a good score is to score well.
And the next category is music, in brackets, original song.
Hang on. I can get a better gag than that.
Don't focus on the gag.
No, wait. No, okay. I've got one. You won't get an Oscar unless you've got a high score. Never mind.
Oscar, high score.
No.
High score. And score as in... The written...
I'm cutting this bit out.
Oh. No, leave it in. It's nice and painful. So, music, original song.
This is my favourite one.
Yes, I figured it might be. Because one of them is Real in Rio from Rio.
Which I've never heard.
No, me neither.
And I have no interest in seeing Rio.
Sergio Mendes did it, though.
Apparently. Did he?
Yeah, with...
I don't care.
Carlinhos Brown and lyrics by Cedar Garrett. And you don't give it.
Not really.
Because the other entry is Man or Muppet from The Muppets.
Which should win.
By Brett McKenzie,
half of Flight of the Conchords. If it doesn't win...
The Muppets was one of those films...
protest.
we'll get a registry for people to sign.
The Muppets was one of those films that I was simultaneously laughing and crying all the way through. It was absolutely brilliant. And Man on Muppet was one of those songs where you started out and you thought, right, I know what's going to happen here. It's this kind of song. It's this kind of song. It's, what did he say? And it was really good. And the first time I heard it, I thought it was amazing. I bought the soundtrack just for that song.
Yeah.
That's how good it is. And I don't buy music as a rule.
No.
I spend too much money on DVDs. So, so for me to actually buy a score based on that is quite amazing.
You've then got short film animated, which is Dimanche. Or Sunday.
Yeah.
The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore, which I kind of want to watch just for that title.
To see what the...
La Luna.
Right.
A Morning Stroll and Wildlife. The short film live action ones are Pentecost, Raju, The Shore, Time Freak, and Tuba Atlantic. Again, another great title.
And I am willing to bet that not only have we never seen these, but nobody
in the world
listening to this podcast will have seen
them. There's nobody in the world. They're films, nobody's ever watched them.
Yeah.
For sound editing, you've got Drive, The Girl with the Dragon.
Drive was good.
Oh, Drive was good. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo. I don't even want to say this. War Horse is on the list as well, but
yeah.
Transformers Dark Side of the Moon.
Really? For sound?
For sound editing.
Yeah, I don't know. Supposingly, it probably was good for sound editing.
Apparently. Sound mixing?
I'll be annoyed if that walks away with an Oscar, then.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't deserve it.
No. Sound mixing?
Yeah.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yeah.
Hugo?
Yeah.
Moneyball?
Yeah.
Warhorse?
Yeah.
And Transformers Dark of the Moon?
They obviously like the sound on it.
Apparently.
I don't see that the sound on that was any different from the sound on the first two.
Visual effects.
Right.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, part two.
Okay.
Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
Real Steel.
Okay. Oh, dear.
I'm surprised that was on the list, but yeah, I do really want to see Real Steel. I'm a bit gutted that I haven't got around to seeing it yet, but
yeah.
I'm also a Hugh Jackman fan as well, so I think he's a delightful human being. I don't actually think he's that good an actor. I think he's a good actor, but he's not a great actor.
Him and Russell Crowe at the BAFTAs presenting the award, the Best Picture Award, I think, was presented by them. Russell Crowe coming on stage and saying, "Call this an opera house," was just hilarious. It was brilliant.
But everything I've seen in terms of DVD extras with Hugh Jackman,
yeah.
He's such a goof.
Yeah.
He's the most lovable goof I've ever seen on film. I really like him. I want to hang out with him. So, yeah, I've instantly since seeing a lot of his back behind-the-scenes stuff.
So, Mr. Jackman, if you'd like to work with a small independent production company for no money, then please get in touch.
Or if you just want to come and do a podcast episode with us, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. Like he's listening to
you. You never know.
You do know.
So, visual effects, Real Steel, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
And I'm glad he's got something.
Yeah. And Transformers, Dark Side of the Moon.
Well, yeah. Again, was there anything that particularly visually...
No. There's one visual thing I love about it. It what? Burning in my fire.
That doesn't make any sense.
Shh. Burn it in your fire. If any of you own a copy of any of the Transformers movies...
I've got all three of them.
Throw them away.
I can't.
Why not?
Because it's there in my collection there.
Oh.
It's the same reason I've got Catwoman.
Get out.
It's my house.
All right. Well, don't get out. But feel a little bit ashamed for owning Catwoman. It's a terrible, terrible film.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. Next category is writing adapted screenplay. So you've got The Descendants, Hugo, The Ides of March, which George Clooney did the screenplay with two other people, but Grant Heslov and Bo Williamon. But I didn't know George Clooney did writing.
Didn't he write The American, or did he direct The American?
Not sure.
Similar. Don't look.
Take ages. Moneyball.
Yeah.
Which, if it's going to win something, by the sounds of it, writing is more where the strength is rather than the expert.
It probably is.
And Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
That should probably win.
Mm.
I think they've done a really good job of adapting that, actually.
And the last one is writing for original screenplay, and you've got The Artist, which I agree will probably run away with it. Bridesmaids, which...
It got the writing for the BAFTA, The Artist.
Yeah.
And I'm not decrying that it should, but...
Carry on.
Yeah. But the fact that it's got it, and the fact that, in fact, the writer made a joke about it. Thank you for realizing that a silent film was written, or something similar, at the BAFTAs. And yeah, the fact that it's been recognised as actually this is as good a job writing as it is anything else. Mm. I think that's quite
quite good.
Bridesmaids,
Margin Call, Midnight in Paris, and A Separation.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure The Artist is going to get that one.
I would hope so.
But yeah, that's it. That's all our categories.
Right. There are tons more. It's just that those are the major ones, I think.
Yeah, yeah. In terms, most people list, and you know, you can kind of guess who's going to do what.
So overall, some surprising things. Anything you think they've missed out at all?
I did bring up the feature films listed in 2011, and I started rolling through them. And like I said, it is mostly just, you've got things like Paul and Pirates of the Caribbean and Thor and Sucker Punch and Fast and Furious 5. And
yeah, but you've got Sucker Punch, right? Which is a visually stunning film. And
yes.
Yet you've got Transformers listed for...
I'd agree with that.
...visual effects.
But yeah, there's just a lot of... Super 8, I think, might have been nice to have something.
Yeah,
a category to be nominated in. Mm-hmm. But, not a lot, in all fairness. I think, yeah, things like visual stuff, there is things missed. But, no, I think... That's the thing, looking back through, there's enjoyable films, there's fun films that have been released over the past year, but... Nothing that's made me go, that will be one of the all-time talked about and referenced and...
No, probably not.
...highly thought of films in the next 10 years.
You've got a feeling that The Artist will be, and you've got a feeling that Hugo will be as well.
Yeah, completely.
The one thing that it's a shame about for Hugo is that the best way of seeing it, unfortunately, is in 3D. And I wouldn't say that about many films.
Would you say it's shot for 3D specifically?
Oh, well, it is. Yeah. Scorsese himself has said so. But the reason that 3D is so poignant in it is because of the history of the piece. The history within the story of the piece. Because it deals with sort of early cinema, and it sort of has this whole... feel that you're right from the very beginnings, right to the very end of cinema through the whole piece. So it just sort of makes sense to show it in 3D. But I think at home, so few people are actually going to see it in 3D at all.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a shame. But right, well, that was our little Oscar rundown.
Yeah.
It's only taken 40 minutes.
I think it's nice that people know it's in the Oscars and they kind of don't need to read about it now because we told them.
Yeah. We know what we want to win. The Artist and the Muppets.
Pretty much.
And that's it. And Hugo. Yeah.
And not Transformers.
Anything but Transformers.